today, and it went a-flying up here, so I thought we would move it on down the road so it wouldn't be in the way. Yeah, amen. See time fly. Who has an encouraging word? In a crowd this size, we ought to have some encouraging words, I would think. Amen. Who has? Jesus is risen. What do you got, brother, over there? Some more sleep. A nap. Amen. All right, amen. Other encouraging words, testimonies? Yes, sir. 40 years. Man. Outstanding. Today? Today's the day. Amen. Happy anniversary. Amen. Golly, congratulations. Amen. What's that, brother? Tie the knot and hang on. You've probably learned the lesson. Probably learned the lesson when you're in a hole, put down the shovel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Amen. Amen. That's a good word. That's a good word. Let's hear some favorite Christological scriptures tonight. Amen? Favorite Christological scripture. Yes, sir. Joshua 24:15. You going to quote it from memory? Amen. That's a good one. That's the crux of it, huh? 24:15. I tell you, I was encouraged today. We had Brother Richard came down and was seeking prayer for his back. And man, we got a bonus message right down here in the front. Amen. That brother, I was getting ready to get my Bible and turn to James, and man, he told us all about James and how it works. And brother, he took it through us or took us through it, and we were able to lift him up in intercession and prayer. And that's biblical and scriptural, and we anointed with oil, and we'll do that. Upon request. We don't force that on anybody. You have to ask for that. And it was a beautiful moment, I thought, just a beautiful moment. Any other encouraging words, favorite scriptures? Yes, ma'am? Amen. That's a good verse. Yes, sir. New creation. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen. So it's really loud up here. I don't know if people in the front are hurting. Are y'all hurting yet? Not hurting yet. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Right. Well, amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, I will guarantee you this: God is not slow concerning His promises, and He honors obedience and faithfulness. And you keep pouring the Word of God in you. You keep pouring the Word of God in you. When you don't feel like pouring the Word of God in you, you just keep pouring it in, and pouring it in, and pouring it in. 15 minutes at a time, 30 minutes at a time. Okay. That's a good word. We don't want to know. Just keep going. No, don't say it. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I've been there before, and Stephanie goes, "You got to go. You're the pastor." you. Yeah. Yeah. That's in Isaiah. It's Galatians. I thought it was Isaiah. Let's nail this address down. What? Galatians 6:9. Galatians. Amen. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Galatians 6:9. Amen. Now that passage, mount up on eagle's wings, is that anybody's? Is that anybody's? That's Isaiah, isn't it? Are y'all saying yes or no? It's not Isaiah 55? 40:31. All right, Bible boy. Isaiah 40:31. Where's it at? 40:31, Trev? Sir, yes, sir. Yeah. Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be tired. They will walk and not become weary. Pardon? Malachi 4:2. Malachi. What's Malachi 4:2? Somebody say it proud. Amen. Praise God. All right. Let's take. Yes, sir. Oh, the thumbs up. Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles and turn to. Miss Karen, yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Even if you don't. Amen. Praise God. Well, that's very biblical to encourage each other with hymns, songs, and scripture tonight. So that's kind of New Testament stuff. Let's take our Bibles and hear from God's Word tonight in Joshua. The book of Joshua, we begin it together. If you'll stand with me in honor of the reading of the Word of God. We have finished the book of Genesis. I think we said we did 137 messages out of Genesis, and I want to say we started that back in 13, and I can't remember. I think it was October of 13, and 137. So we're moving on now. We're out of the Pentateuch. We're out of the books of the law: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We're in that first book now, the book of Joshua, after the law. So we're in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. If you found it tonight, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. The Word of God reads this. We'll take it through verse 9. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, the repeat here is strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Methinks Joshua was a little weak-kneed at this point, because he keeps repeating, be strong and courageous. God knows what we need, doesn't he? Joshua, son, be strong and courageous. One more time, be strong and courageous. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, and Lord, we thank you that we can have a cool, dry place to meet. Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you for sparing us of the flooding and of the high winds and tornadic activity. We pray for those that have gone through that today and will go through that this evening and tomorrow. Be with them, Lord. We continue to pray for those families in New Braunfels, Lord, who have lost so much, these church members. And Lord, because of just texting and driving, it just breaks our heart to hear it. But Lord, we pray a special prayer for a sister church in the Hill Country tonight. Comfort them. Help them, Lord. See them through this difficult time. Father God, I pray that you would help us and see us through the difficult times and the challenges that we have. And as we begin this great book of Joshua, Lord, I pray that you would undergird us with your truth, that you would wash us with your word, Lord, that you just motivate us for a productive, good, Jesus-centered, Bible-centered, prayer-centered week. And Lord, we would have much to be thankful for, how you used us and moved in us. And Lord, just used us for your glory this week. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. May He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're just going to get through like the first two verses tonight. And really, it's a lot of introductory material. And really, you know, you could say it's kind of, you know, academia or academic, but I think, you know, to get all the flavor we can out of this thing, we need to start and try to have some decent background about the book. So as we think about the book of Joshua, Joshua belongs to the special class of biblical books that are named after their chief character, right? I mean, it's called Joshua. And is, in fact, it is the first such book in the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those are not anybody's name. Joshua, Judges, Ruth, you've got two right there, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, right? So None of the first five books of the Bible bears a proper name, though they deal with some of the greatest characters of history. You've got Adam that we deal with. You've got Noah that is dealt with. You've got Abraham that is dealt with. And I'm still in Genesis. Joseph. You've got Moses in Exodus. I mean, it's incredible stuff. As we think about Joshua, Joshua tells us of the conquest of Canaan. The conquest of Canaan. We'll see that. You'll hear that. You may even get tired of hearing that. The conquest of Canaan. The pagans have got to be driven out. This is your land. This is the promise of fulfillment. You're going to take it. Go take it. The conquest of Canaan. Joshua tells us of the conquest of Canaan by the tribes of Israel under the command of Moses' successor, as this book is so named. In this respect, Joshua belongs with such biblical books as Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and Job. Joshua is a fitting title for the book because this book is about the character and records the achievements of this extraordinary man. And I want to tell you, in going over this and looking at this and just, I mean, I've been looking forward to getting into this book and praying about where God would lead me next out of Genesis. And Joshua, man, if we can emulate that guy, if we can allow the Holy Spirit to lead us to have a character like his, I mean, we will be doing awesome. When we think about Joshua and the book that bears his name, the Joshuas in life are often overlooked. They're often overlooked as those who follow a particularly prominent individual often are. In other words, who remembers the president after Abraham Lincoln? Anybody? Abraham Lincoln, the president after Abraham Lincoln? We all remember Abraham Lincoln, right? He was the white president. He was the 16th president. You know? No, you could say Abraham Lincoln was, if not the best president the country has ever had, he makes the top what? The top three? The top five? Right? I mean, Abraham Lincoln. The president was Andrew Johnson. Did anybody say Johnson? No. Johnson. Andrew Johnson. Or the prime minister who followed Winston Churchill. Everybody remembers Winston Churchill. But who followed that cat? Who followed Winston Churchill? Anybody? Some of you are trying to find it on your phone. It's Clement Attlee. Clement Attlee. As a category, successors are generally obscured by those who came before them. I have a pastor friend. His name is Danny Biddy, and he's pastored the same church for 40 years, and he just retired from the ministry. That was his third church that he went to. It's over in the Dayton area, Old River. And I'll always remember Brother Danny Biddy pastoring Old River Baptist Church. But we've talked on the phone, and we probably talk once or twice a year, and he never really hinted around me sending my resume over there, and I never would send my resume over there because he is an awesome man. That would be a tough act to follow, right? And me and my son have talked about the pastor that's come over there, and we're just praying for him. I mean, you're talking about some big boots. Danny was a cowboy hat. Every time the rodeo started, he was the chaplain for the rodeo. He rode in with the grand assembly, the grand entry, every night of the rodeo. I mean, he was a bow hunter. He didn't use a gun. He was a bow hunter. He was like the cross between the Apostle Paul and Billy Graham, and then mix a little Davy Crockett in there. I mean, he made knives. He was a knife maker. I mean, this guy was something else. Man, you follow that guy, and you better what? You better be getting 8 hours of sleep and eating your Wheaties and taking your vitamins, and man, you better be prayed up if you're going to follow Danny Biddy in there, right? Because you're succeeding that great man. As a category, successors are generally obscured by those who came before them. This is exactly what happened to Joshua. In fact, this may be why the book is called by his name. In naming the book after the man, perhaps God is saying to us, have you considered my servant Joshua? Now, Who have we heard that about? Have you considered my servant Job, right? Have you considered my servant Joshua? He was extraordinary. Have you considered him? He was faithful and hardworking. Would you consider him? He was totally given to my service. Let me tell you something about Joshua. You should learn from his story. Dear God, right? Or sincerely God. Or love God. Check this guy out. Now, was he perfect? No, Joshua was not perfect. And the achievement of sitting down one foot after another in quiet compliance with the commands of God is hardly the way to command attention and admiration from the world. However, for the church, the key to victory is obedience in God's service, and Joshua is a noteworthy example of obedience. Amen? And so we talked about this morning of being a servant and a slave. We talked about this morning of not being self-promoters. We talked about this morning of, really, it's an issue I think we were trying to get across of humility. Amen? We obey. That's a spiritual discipline, self-denial, humility, obedience. Make sense to you? Amen? Just a few things as we go through this introductory material, if you're taking notes. The first one is this, as we talk about the background. Joshua, the book, is a historical bridge. It's bridging one thing to the next. Kind of like Jesus, when we receive Christ, when we are saved, Jesus is the bridge to get us to God. Amen? To get us to God. Jesus gets us to God the Father in the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. His cross is like a bridge. I mean, it's like a bridge, and we're over here, and God is over here, and sin stands in the middle, and this cross comes down by the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're able to traverse with the Holy Spirit's help under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, convicting us of our sins, convicting us of our needs, and we're able to transfer from our dead self and be conveyed into His kingdom and brought to life. Amen? It's a beautiful picture. Well, Joshua is a historical bridge in a sense. Joshua is not only a story of a man. Joshua is also the story of the, and here it is again, the conquest of Canaan. That's right. By the tribes of Israel that had been led out of Egypt by Moses. This means it is a transition book from the patriarchal age, and we've covered the patriarchs, all right? The patriarchal age in which the nation of Israel was being called, the nation of Israel was being formed, the nation of Israel was being delivered, the nation of Israel was being trained, and now they're being readied. Now they've come to the age that they can now go and settle the land that God had promised to them. It's not until Joshua that we have the fulfillment of the promise originally made to Abraham. Remember where it's found? The original promise. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram. He's not even Abraham yet. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." So he, Abram, built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now more than 500 years had passed since that promise had been given. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, Deuteronomy 7, 9, if you're taking notes, Deuteronomy 7, 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." That's good news tonight. Amen? Praise God, He keeps His promises at the last time appointed by God, as that time rolls around and the people, turn me down a little bit, and the people move forward to possess their possessions. Joshua's not only the story of a man, but he's also the story of God's man. He's also the story of a leader of God's people. In Deuteronomy, Moses is the leader of the people, but Joshua begins, as we read in chapter 1, verse 1, after the death of Moses. From this point on, Joshua, Moses' aide, Moses' right arm, Moses' lieutenant, so to speak, he's now the leader. I mean, he is it. The guy that wrote the law under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is now dead. You've been carrying his cloak. You've been helping him do all this. You've been following. You've been the second man. And now, brother, he's gone and you're it. Wow. Wow. That's something else, isn't it? That's a lot to take in. Joshua leads the people in the conquest as well as the division of the land, all according to the promises and plan of God as set down in specific detail in Deuteronomy. Now, what are some major themes? And I just want to share with you three of them tonight, some of the major themes contained in the book. Number one, God's purposes do not change. They do not change. People change. That's right. All those who were 20 years and over who came out of Egypt with Moses, they died in the desert. A new generation entered the land. Not the old generation, new generation. Leaders change. People change. Leaders change. Joshua replaced Moses. But God does not change. God is the same, and so are the purposes that He has established for His redeemed people. They don't change. Amen, church? Some of the major themes contained in the book, God's purposes do not change. You know this. I mean, we're just kind of reviewing with you tonight. You know these things, but the written Word of God does not change. The written Word of God does not change. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, there are basically two paragraphs in those verses. The first, verses 1 through 5, that first paragraph articulates the nature of the book as a bridge book. We're bridging two things here. The second paragraph, verses 6 through 9, emphasizes the written Word of God that Joshua was to obey as he took his place in the succession of leadership. In other words, Joshua, I know this is a pressure moment for you. Moses wasn't perfect. He shouldn't have struck that rock in anger. And because of that, he's not seeing the promised land. Tap. Tap. You're it, buddy. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you like I told him. Here's the law. This is what you've got to do. And I'm sure Joshua thought in the back of his mind, you know, I'm not going to lose my standing with God, but if I don't attempt this in the right way, there's going to be somebody come after me, right? I'm going to be the Moses. Going home early, not getting to see the promised land. In some ways, these verses, verses 6 through 9, in some ways, these verses are the most important in the entire book. And because Joshua obeyed these verses here is why he is considered a great biblical figure. These verses detail the special relationship Joshua was to have to the written law of Moses. The law of Moses already had, this is what just blows me away as I study this, as I prepared for this week, this is what just kind of, you just get kind of wrapped up in all of this. Can this really be, did this really, yes, it really happened this way. The law of Moses already had the exalted status of revelation from God. It's already, the first five books of your Bible, that's all there is. It already has the exalted status of a revelation from God. Francis Schaeffer, a great theologian, this is what he writes concerning this in one of my commentaries. I've got to share this with you. He says, Joshua knew Moses, the writer of the Pentateuch, personally. Joshua knew his strengths and weaknesses as a man. He knew that Moses was a sinner, that Moses made mistakes, that Moses was just a man. Nonetheless, immediately after Moses' death, Joshua accepted the Pentateuch, the first five books of your Bible, as more than the writing of Moses. He accepted it as the writing of God. Amen? 200 or 300, this is what Francis Schaeffer writes, 200 or 300 years were not required for the book to become sacred as far as Joshua was concerned, the Pentateuch, the first five books of your Bible. The Pentateuch was the canon, and the canon was the Word of God. When we say canon, we mean a standard. We mean a standard. The Pentateuch was the standard, and the standard was the Word of God, what Francis is saying. The biblical view of the growth and acceptance of the canon or standard is as simple as this. When it was given, God's people understood what it was. Right away, it had authority. Everybody say that word with me? Authority. Isn't that what our culture struggles with in regards to the Word of God? They struggle with the authority of it. Do they not? Some of the major themes contained in the book. The Bible presents, this is the last one I'm going to share with you. The Bible presents timeless truth. The Bible presents timeless truth. The God of Genesis, this is a long theme, the God of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy is the unchanging God who is also, this is the theme, who is also our God. He's our God. God spoke to Abraham directly. God met with Moses on the mount, right? In Joshua, although he is personally confronted by the, as chapter 5 reads, as captain of the host of the Lord, which is a pre-incarnate form of Jesus, in chapter 5, Joshua 5. In Joshua, although he is personally confronted with the pre-incarnate person of Jesus, and specific revelations are given to him for the conduct of the war through the high priest, the situation is basically a different situation. Like ourselves, Joshua was to live by obedience to the written Word of God that he had. Amen? The written Word of God that he had. He was not to hope in new special revelations. He was just to live the revelations that he had. Amen? We know today that the what is closed. The canon is closed. The standard is closed. There is no more new revelation coming from God. What God has said, He has said. He said, I'm coming back. He's coming back. Amen? He came the first time to save. The second time, He will come to rule and to judge. God's coming back. Jesus is coming back. He will sit on the throne. He will take up residence in Jerusalem. He will sit on the Holy Mount. Kings and queens and generals and people from all over the world will come and bow before Him and confess Him as Savior and Lord. I'm telling you, that day's coming, friend. He said all He's going to say. The canon is closed. It's our job to do what? It's our job to live up to it, to live it, to be obedient to it, to earn our salvation. We're not talking about earning our salvation. We're talking about bringing glory and honor to His name. Even more, that written word is what ties us to Joshua, just as it is what tied him to his illustrious predecessor, Moses. So friend, when I think about the book of Joshua, man, I think about he's my mentor. As Moses was his mentor, Joshua's my mentor. Joshua's your mentor. He's our mentor tonight. Amen? This great man of God, he's going to mentor us. As we look at his obedient life, as we look at his stick-to-itiveness, as we look at his courage under fire, he's going to mentor us. He's going to help us. Indeed, the Bible is what ties us all together. For God has decreed that it is only through his word that he will be made known. Right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How shall they hear? It's got to have a preacher. So somebody's got to go preach, amen? Somebody's got to stand up and be counted and preach it out. As we get ready to close tonight, I want to share some closing remarks on Joshua the man. He's human just like us. We're not going to make him the fourth person of the Trinity. He's a sinner just like me and you. You will meet Him one day if you're saved. But I want to share with you some closing remarks on Joshua the man. Joshua, and I'm tiptoeing out a little bit here, but after reading this, Joshua must have admired Moses. He must have admired him. Moses was a great man. He was one in a million, Moses, right? No doubt he considered himself to be inferior to the great lawgiver. I've got a man that trained my mentor that trained me. His name is Bill Bennett. He's pastored churches, big and small. He's probably, what, in his 90s now? At one time, Dr. Bill had memorized the entire New Testament. We would have him for revival at Gardendale Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas, which was a large church I was on staff at. Dr. Bill would go to the pulpit, and he would carry a hymnal, and he would quote his text, and every text he referred to, he had up here. It would be so funny. He would have the hymnal upside down, just kind of as a prop, so people wouldn't think he was being prideful or arrogant in his presentation. But half the time, he'd open that thing up, and it's upside down, right? And he just, I think about that guy, and I think about me, and almost feelings of what? I get how Joshua must have felt around Moses, and even more so because Moses had been up on the mountain. He had brought down the Ten Commandments. He had a face that glowed at one time. They had to cover it with veil, right? Moses was not only Joshua's mentor. He would go down in both religious and secular histories as one of the greatest leaders ever to appear. Charles Haddon Spurgeon notes that if we mingle with our what we consider to be inferiors, we are apt to grow vain. These are his words. In other words, we're apt to be prideful. If we are closely associated with superior minds, which that's not very hard for me to get around folks of superior minds, but if we are closely associated with superior minds, there is a far greater probability that we will become depressed and will think less of ourselves than true humility might require. True humility is not depressed. Do we understand that? True humility, to be humble, after all, is only having a right estimation of our own person, right? A right estimation is we're not better than anybody else, but there's not anybody else better than us. We're all the same at the foot of the cross. Now, that doesn't mean we don't serve each other, and that doesn't mean we're not slave to one another, and that doesn't mean we don't minister to one another. We do that because we're serving Jesus. Amen? And Jesus would want us to do that to the least of these. And sometimes I'm the least of these, and sometimes you're the least of these, and sometimes the least of these is out there. And we do that for one another, and we ought to do that with a glad heart. Amen? Joshua must have been despondent under a pressing sense of his own deficiencies, though, because he's not Moses. Moses, I mean, you look at Joshua's book in comparison. Joshua, my Bible's got 24 chapters. And then you look at Moses' book. Genesis through Deuteronomy and Joshua. Right? Joshua must have been despondent under a pressing sense of his own deficiencies. He needed to hear God say. He needed to hear God say. What did he need to hear God say? He needed to hear God say, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's what he needed to hear. For years I've been preparing you for this moment, Joshua.
I saw great promise in you a long time ago, Joshua. Quit comparing yourself, Joshua. Live in the present, Joshua. Look to the future, Joshua. It's time to step out of the past, Joshua. Are you hearing me, church? Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, who shall go up first for us against... I'm sorry, I'm in Judges. It's been a long old day. Joshua chapter 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, and you and all this people to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. These opening two verses stress the importance of living with our backs to the past. You don't forget the past, do you? These brains have been wired to remember. But you put your back to the past. You learn from the past. You don't let the past, if it's a negative past, control you in the future in a negative way. Makes sense? You let God take those lemons and make some beautiful lemonade out of it, amen? You let Him take those ashes and turn those ashes into beauty, amen? You don't get beat down. You've got the past to your back. You don't have your face to the past. You've got your back to the past because you're in the present. You're going forward. You're moving with God this way. You're not going back that way. You can't go back, amen? You can't go back. So you've got to have the past to your back. These words of God to Joshua have to be among the most important in all the Bible. Let those words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Roll over you, man. Let those words roll over you again and again. Stephen Lee, that lost self of you is dead. Get up and arise. And you can put your name in there. That person is dead. Now therefore arise. As Brother Walt so eloquently reminded of us, we're a new creature, a new creation. Amen? Meditate on that part of it, right? Joshua was willing to live with his back to the past. And the question is, as we close it out tonight, are we? Are we willing to live with our backs to our past? How are we going to do that, Preach? Well, to do this, we need to remember, as Joshua did, God's faithfulness to Moses, God's faithfulness to His people, which speak of His grace, amen, which speak of His mercy, praise the Lord, looking to the promised Messiah and His sacrifice on the cross. I don't necessarily think they all knew how it was going to play out, but they knew there was a sacrifice. They knew there was a Messiah. They knew there was a King a-coming. Amen? They believed it then. We're believing the second coming now. Right? Did God let them down? No, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. We today, looking back at the cross, we have the privilege of remembering the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and all that God has done for us. This is the focus of worship. This is why we celebrate the first Advent, as John talked about Christmas tonight, right? This is why we celebrate Advent at Christmas. This is why we celebrate the resurrection at Easter, which is where we were trying to get, which is where we're heading in just a couple of weeks, which is what we're going to be celebrating on Palm Sunday, amen? Right? This is the focus of worship and why we celebrate the ordinances of the Lord's Supper. This is why we celebrate baptism. These reminders help us to encourage in a special concentration on the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I just can't go on. But man, He lived and He died and He rose again the third day. This is so hard for me, but He lived and He died and He climbed up out of that tomb and the stone rolled away and here I am, I'm going and I'm trucking and I'm getting knocked down again, but He lived and He died and He resurrected the third day. And that just keeps playing and playing from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Jesus, He came for you. Amen? And came for me and died. And they couldn't stop Him and death couldn't overcome Him. and He defeated sin and hell. And He did it all for us because He loves us. Amen? And it helps us get up on Monday morning. It helps us get up. As Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years, Joshua wandered with the people for 40 years. I wonder if Joshua had any second thoughts like Moses had about being God's mouthpiece, about being God's leader. Remember, Moses said, you know, I'm not very eloquent. God said, got that taken care of. I wonder if Joshua gave a list. You know, I'm not this or I'm not that. And God, maybe that's why God says, what does He say? Be strong and courageous. But God says again, be strong and courageous. Joshua brings it up one more time, and God says, be strong and courageous. Just be strong and courageous. Right? Do you think Joshua ever wondered if he could really be the leader that God wanted him to be? Let me tell you probably what the devil did to him or attempted to do to him. You know, Joshua, 40 years ago, you and Caleb, you young bucks, so full of vigor and strength, you couldn't even convince the other 10 spies that went with you in the land. How in the world do you think now? Your better years are behind you, bub. How in the world do you think now you're going to convince the nation to go forward? You couldn't even convince the 10 spies. You couldn't even convince your contemporaries. Why do you think you can convince everybody now? You think the devil played that in his head? Yeah. Right, man. He had not been persuasive in the one great opportunity he had 40 years ago. But he didn't forget his past. You know what he did? Praise God, Joshua could learn from his past. And he could trust God in his future to see that God had plans for him, to see that God had plans for the nation, to see that God had plans to redeem all people. Which brings us to Lois's verse tonight, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. In the words of God tonight, be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's have a closing word of prayer and you'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. And Lord, we thank you that we can open the book on Joshua, and let the truth of that thing out. And Lord, I pray as we chase the truth and as we seek the truth and as we struggle with the truth, Lord, I pray that it would be fresh to us. And Lord, it would be help to us and it would be healing to us, Lord, and for even some, it would usher in salvation for them as they hear the truth. The truth in the book of Joshua. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This great Word, Lord, may we try to take some of the lessons out of here and apply them to our lives and apply them to others that we know. Not to lord it over anybody or not to rub salt in anybody's wounds, but to be a helpmate, to be an encourager, to be a lover of men and a lover of women, a lover of people. Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for the great ministry of reconciliation. May we not squander the opportunities this week that you give us. May we be read up in your word or devotioned up in our devotion. May we be prayed up in our personal quiet time. May we be confessed up with our sin accounts. And Lord, may we be healed up and ready to do your bidding. May we be courageous. May we not tremble. May we know that you are with us. Lord, I pray you just reel to us this coming week. As Lois confessed, Lord, I just want you to be real. Lord, as we're in your word, may you just come alive to us. When we're in prayer, may you just speak louder than any voice could speak. Just speak to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us tonight. Give us safety as we leave this place. Bring us back here again this coming Wednesday. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight.